The Magic Kingdom could use a sprinkle of pixie dust. Disney finds itself in a feud with Ron DeSantis, the Republican governor of Florida. The company criticized a new law that restricts teaching on gender identity and sexual orientation, at which point DeSantis and his allies voted to take away Disney's special tax status in the state. Now, there is a bigger cultural push and pull going on here, according to Derek Thompson, staff writer at The Atlantic, and he joins us by Skype. Hey, Derek.
Hello, good to be here.
So you see this feud as a product of cultural angst on both sides of the political divide. So let's take one side at a time. One of these unstoppable forces, as you argue, is conservatives moving state politics to the right across the country. How so?
That's exactly right. I do think that Republicans are moving state politics to the right. I think they are doing so in part out of a fear of cultural disempowerment. If you poll Republicans, you find that there's basically a total collapse of institutional trust in colleges, in big companies, in the entertainment industry, in tech firms. And that as a result, I think Republican voters are more accepting of their leaders using illiberal means to pull politics to the right. So what are some good examples? Well, look at Governor Abbott in Texas using a law that essentially deputizes citizens to sue, say, Uber drivers who drive women to a clinic to get an abortion. Or look at Florida, where Governor DeSantis is explicitly punishing Disney for speech in order to demonstrate, I think, his conservative bona fides. I think this is a very interesting development.
And this is a change on the right, is it not? We used to have what they called country club Republicans aligned with big business, at least in Washington and state capitals.
I think it's probably a change among parts of the right. I do think you're right that to a certain extent, I think you're correct to a certain extent that there are elements of the Republican Party that has historically been libertarian. And a libertarian would not want to pass an overly vague law. They would want to pass a law that was really, really narrowly targeted so that the state wasn't overreaching in its power. I would argue, however, that the law that was passed by the Florida legislature and signed by Governor Ron DeSantis, both that limited the kind of speech that can legally happen, kind of instruction that can legally happen in Florida high schools, and then punished Disney, I think both of those were kind of anti-libertarian laws. They were sort of examples of extraordinary state power. Power, I should say, that was a kind of response to what a lot of conservatives see as extraordinary liberal meddling through corporations. That's what they think this whole Disney's involvement in this fracas was all about.
All right, and let's talk about the other side, the liberals. And you cite liberal millennials, which is how you label yourself in this piece, moving big corporations like Disney to the left. What do you mean?
I think there's no question that whether you're conservative, liberal, or centrist, you have to acknowledge that liberal professionals have become activists about being anti-conservative. You look at an organization like the NBA, which responded to a conservative law in North Carolina by pulling their business out of the state. You look at major tech companies that hail causes like Black Lives Matter, whose positions on subjects like policing are clearly to the left of the typical American. Now, you could say that their attitude toward policing is moral. You could say their attitude toward policing doesn't work. But it is clearly to the left of the typical American. And I think that, you know, one thing that's happening here is that just as Republicans fear cultural disempowerment, I think a lot of Democrats and liberals fear political disempowerment. They see that Republicans are really, really strong at the state level, really, really strong in the courts. And as a result, they're using corporations as kind of like their proxy army in a national political struggle. And again, you know, I what I'm trying to do in this piece is not so much say who is right and who is wrong. I'm trying to see things as they exist. And it's just interesting to me that, you know, just to sum it all up, to a certain extent, there are Republicans who I think are freaked out by cultural disempowerment and they're yanking politics to the right. But there are Democrats who are freaked out by what they see as political disempowerment and they're pulling their institutions to the left. And so this is sort of the whirling gyre in which our cultural war is spinning.
And these corporations, these big businesses, I mean, some analysts think that because they want to hire these urban millennials, they want to sell their products to these urban millennials, they really have to pay attention. That's a bit of their constituency, yeah?
I would absolutely agree that to the extent that you are, you know, defending the managers at these companies and saying this is why they're listening to their, you know, liberal millennial activists, this is why. It's because they're trying to hire people that are college educated. Guess what demographic in the United States is most pro capital D Democratic Party in the U.S.? It's people who graduated from college. So if you are trying to hire a college-educated people, especially in dense urban cities where liberals tend to live, then you do need to be very interested in, very concerned about, you know, how young millennials, how young liberal millennials think about the world. And I think that's one reason why you're seeing corporations be more involved in political discussions than they used to be maybe 5, 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah. And quickly, are we going to have you back, say, during the midterms or 2024 presidential race for another one of these battles, do you predict?
I think that for better or worse, and here I would definitely say it's for worse, words about words about words, cultural war politics is taking over politics. And as a result, I would imagine that more fights about words are going to be at the center of the midterms as well.
Okay. Derek Thompson of The Atlantic, thank you.
Thank you.